So God says, that's the reason you don't have to worry about it. The reason you don't have to worry about it, I so love you, and I'm thankful for that. I'm really thankful for that love. Now, let me tell you a story that's going to lead in to truly being thankful. I am thankful because I know God's Word to the point to where that Jesus always thanked God the Father. He always thanked God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Now, God's only Son, who happened to be God incarnate, comes down to planet Earth to show you and me how to worship Him. And so He's going to show us, because He's 100% human now, and He's going to show us, this is why I want you to find your blessings. I'm here, and I'm wanting to be right in there with you. But I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, to all that exist. I'm forever with you. Now, it takes spiritual understanding to even grasp just through the glass dimly, just a fraction of what that means. But you see, even though I don't understand it, I know it. And I know it because for God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. He gave Him for me and you. So I know what He's saying to me is true. I know He says, I love you, Larry. And He overlooks every blemish that I have, personality-wise and all. And God said, okay, here's what I want you to understand. When I tell you that I love you and I'll never leave you nor forsake you, do not fall back on your own wisdom or your own thinking. Don't trust your own mind. Trust my Spirit that I've given you that exceeds your human thinking. Now, Jesus and His disciples were leaving Judea through Jerusalem and Bethany. So they were walking through Judea. And as they go through, everybody's wanting to kill Jesus. Well, the disciples are real excited. Jesus, can't you walk a little faster? Think maybe we ought to get out of here. Therefore, as they were walking, I can picture the disciples saying, hustle up, let's go. Maybe He'll go a little fast. They were afraid because what they saw was a whole city, a whole group of individuals wanting to kill their leader, Jesus. So they go about, and now 3 months later, I want you to picture it, 3 months later, word comes to Jesus that His best friend, Lazarus, is dying. And Jesus is talking to His disciples and saying, we shall go back. But He didn't say it right then. He waited. He didn't leave till the next day, which made Him about 4 days after Lazarus was already dead. But here's what He said to His disciples. Same thing He says to you and I so often. Come, let us go back. What did His disciples say? Lord, do you not remember they tried to kill us? And you're wanting us to go back through that same area again? Back through the same people that wanted to stone us to death. But Lazarus, our friend, Jesus says, is asleep. So like any good disciple like us, they probably all Baptist, just like us, say, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he needs his rest. Let's not go bother him. He needs that healing rest. And then Jesus finally says, come on, boys. Lazarus is dead. And we need to go back now. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. Well, now, wait a minute, Lord. Oh, here's something for you all to write down somewhere. Did you know nobody ever died in the presence of Jesus? Remember Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus? Mary and Martha said, Lord, had you been here, our brother would not have died. Nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. So therefore, if nobody ever died in Jesus' presence, the disciples said, if he's dead, we should have been there. And Jesus is saying, I'm glad for your sake. He didn't say he was glad that Lazarus was dead. He said he was glad for their sake that he wasn't there, and once again they would have just pushed it aside. Lazarus is dead. Thank you, Lord. How many brothers or sisters here would be thanking God that he held back until after the death of a loved one, the doctor that could have healed had he been there? Jesus says, let's go. Do you know that we have no record of any problems as they went back through to Bethany? You don't mess with God's children when they're on a mission for God. You got me? When they're on a mission for God, called by God, don't you sweat what you think you see. Don't you worry about what you think you know. Because when it comes to God's glory, you do not know anything. Because when the Spirit of Almighty God is at work, the rules of life change. And those rules of life, well, he's going to die. Gosh, they've been having me dead for so long. They have you all too. Now, eventually, we're leaving this body. But I can promise you this, you ain't going till Jesus says you're going. You got that? That's spiritual. That's factual. That's powerful. He created me and he created you. And he did it for a purpose. And until my purpose is complete upon this earth, you stuck with me. That's God's word. So Jesus goes through. And once again, here comes his Mary and Martha. And Mary, now Mary was the outspoken one. She's the one that, you know, wanted to get out of the house. Martha was a hard worker. Different personalities. Both loved the Lord. And both were foolish in their statements, just like you and I are so often. I refuse to put any kind of limit on God. I'm not going to do that. Some people say, well, God can't lie. I said, you're right. God said he can't lie. But that order was self-imposed. Nobody told God he couldn't lie except for God. He also said that I can't die. You can't die. At some point, that spiritual you is going to be awakened to the point that you understand that that's all of you that really is that's important. Because this flesh is going to be gone. Surely it stinketh. Because it's dying. At the second I was born, I began to die. Suppose at the second of my conception, I began to die. It's a process. I don't know whether you all have noticed it or not, but it seems to speed up the older you get. That process does. As my 103-year-old mother says, Larry, what's wrong with my skin? I said, it's 103 years old. Now, don't you throw my age at me. And God says, son, you got to have a lesson to teach. And listen to this lesson. Jesus gets there. They're fussing at him, Mary and Martha, but respectfully so. Lord, had you been here, our brother would not have died, because nobody ever died in the presence of Jesus. That was faith. That was faith. They knew that part. It's the other part. Lord, give me more faith. Lord, help me. So he gets there and says, where have you laid him? So they take him out to the tomb of Lazarus. And Jesus said something that really bothered them. Roll away the stone. And this is that statement that I chuckle at all the time and use so often. And Mary and Martha said, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days. Surely he stinketh. I love the old English on that one. And I've said it for years. Surely that stinketh. Meaning it's dead. But nothing is dead in the presence of Jesus. Not only did no one ever die in the presence of Jesus, no grave could ever keep anyone when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. No grave could keep Lazarus. Why, was the question, did Jesus have the people roll away the stone? Why didn't he just show them that even the rocks he commands? Do you realize that if Jesus had told a rock to bust open, every rock around would have fallen apart, mountains and all? Do we not understand that that which is spiritual to us, Jesus, uses the physical us here? While we're in this body, there's a purpose for me physically. Therefore, he says, I'm going to show you. This is what we're going to learn about all next year. I'm going to show you how your spirit connects with your physical. And yet, there are two different battles going on inside of you. We know that. But I want you to know that your spirit is what is important and what is powerful, because I am with you. My body's not going to be with you that long. My spirit, God bless you, a lot of you, you're not going to get me out of your head. I feel sorry for you. Until we meet at supper time in heaven. Gosh, I get to have a lot of suppers. You and I are going to be together. Do you know there will not be a pain in any heart? There will be no body that will bother us. There will be no anger, no hurt, no hard feelings. Nothing but the blood of Jesus could do that. John, Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 41 and 42. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, now listen to it, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Then he says this, I knew that you always heard me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. See, but Father, I know that there's never a point that you don't hear me. But these people need to learn that. So I'm saying it out loud so they will know that they may believe that you sent me. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for the pain. How long has it been since you thanked God for allowing you to even live? Thank you, Father, for my life. You did not have to give me my life. Do you know only those who are born of flesh and blood and those who are reborn of the Spirit of Christ will ever see his kingdom? So what a gift it was. And we are angry at God because we even exist. We are of all people most blessed. And of all people, there ought not be any griping under any circumstance. Well, you know, I know it's chilly outside. I also know they got it too hot in here. I also know if it goes over 12 o'clock again, something's going to be cold time I get there to eat it. Have you ever thought about the negativity in your life? Jesus is standing there at the tomb of his dear friend. Jesus has already been weeping. Those are sermons in themselves. All the disbelief of those. But Lord, you promise, just because I do not see it does not mean that it has not already been taken care of. Just because I do not understand salvation does not mean I'm not saved. I know Jesus. Jesus knows me. My name's on his Christmas list. Well, what do you expect? I already got it. But to know that Jesus knows my name? Always remember that at Christmas time. Jesus knows my name. Think of it. Father, I thank you. I don't have to guess at the blessings God has given me. I don't have to worry or wonder. For me, will there be a tomorrow? Folks, there's always going to be a today. And if I'm always going to have a today, I got to have all the tomorrows already lined up. Jesus lined them up for me. Now he says, I want you to stay on earth, but it's passing away. He said, what you're seeing is just an illusion of the facts of my kingdom. Do we not know that the Bible teaches us that the temple built by man was only just a vision of what is in heaven? Of what man has built and taught? Is nothing but just air. It says the grass of the field, just like our life. Today it is here, tomorrow it's withered and it's gone. But you and I, we're never going to be gone. We're never going to be gone. Now this body might push up a few daisies, but Larry Pete's around forever and ever and ever. That's a long time be hanging out with each other, isn't it? Yeah. That'd be a fun time. Because you won't find any fault in me. So you might as well get over it down here. Because you're not going to find any fault in me. Nor am I going to find any fault in you. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. God looks to you who you are. And he created each one of us for a specific purpose. And he said, I love you. I have the approval of Almighty God stamped on me. Whether I'm in this broken body or flying around in the spirit, I think I'd be cool too, Webster. I look forward to eternity. Y'all notice that? With a lot of hurt still left here. You and I have a lot of friends that are hurting. I want to be there for them. What are you going to do? Be there. What are you going to say? I'm just going to be there. What can I say? It's going to change a dying situation. What can I do that's going to mend the brokenness of a loved one that's lost someone so dear to them? You can just be there. Don't have to say a word. Just be there. Brothers and sisters together. Just being there. When you cry, I'll cry with you. Probably cry before you start. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you. And when you're hurting, I will be in continual prayer for you. You see, this church of all congregations seen so many miracles, haven't we, ladies? We've seen children born that were supposed to have been aborted. We've witnessed the touch of God on so many physically. It's not the faith that I have. It's the faith that I'm looking forward to. Because I already know Jesus has got me. He got me. Hey, Larry, I got you. Well, you sweating. Lord, I know you got me. But I'm still stuck down here. Then I want you to have a spiritual awakening. Because I want to unlock the secret of the blessings that I have in store for you. Father, I thank you for nothing goes on in my life that you have not allowed. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and give you praise, asking your special touch, Father, upon each one. Father, there's a lot of folk that are hurting physically. Disease has hit us, Father. I pray that through your touch, Father, you've sent me here as a pastor, as a shepherd of a flock. Father, you sent me to your army on earth. Father, I need your army. I need you to intervene in the sicknesses, Father. I need you to touch the mind that is hurting, the heart that is growing so weak. Father, help us, because we don't have time for this cancer stuff. For I know the spiritual warfare is raging. Your army is so needed. Your love, Father, let it supersede all, and your blessing be upon your children, your word, your truth. And I thank you, Father, in advance, because I know that it's already happened. We ask a blessing now upon each one in Jesus' name. Amen.